10 Prayers, Part 2. Watch and pray always. Theme text, The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5:16. That he would multiply our tithes and gifts to his glory. There are two components to this prayer. The first pertains to who we are, the second with what we have. We have never been the best at anything. The most we can claim is that we may be proficient at some things. The fact of the matter is, we are not much of anything at all. One needs to be careful about this acknowledgement. If someone says, "I am not much of anything," we might consider the genesis of this statement. Perhaps they really understand their place before our Creator, or they may have self-esteem, discouragement, or depression issues. There's something we are that is worth far more than being the best at anything. We are children of God, called and chosen. We do not know why. Of all the people on the earth, God called us. It may simply be because we are nothing, so God can make something of us. Before there was any creation, there was nothing, and God created something of tremendous worth, His Son, from nothing. God chose the foolish things of the world that He might put them to shame that are wise. And God chose the weak things of the world, that He might put to shame the things that are strong. And the base things of the world, and the things that are despised did God choose, yea, and the things that are not, that He might bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory before God. 1 Corinthians 1:27-29. The second component of this prayer is what we have to give. Logically, if we are nothing, we have nothing, but because we became something, we therefore have something. We all have time, desire, love, devotion, possessions, and life itself that we can give. When we acknowledge what we are and who we are able to build our prayer structure upon the foundation of truth, not deception, not delusion, and not on an inflated perspective. This is a simple request that God would take our few loaves and fishes in our mind, heart, and body, aware of its imperfection, and use them to achieve a greater work. It is a prayer to exponentially increase the little offered in the Master's service for His honor. 7. That our home would be a place of peace, rest, and refuge to all who enter. When Jesus sent out His disciples, He first gave them some instructions. Whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy and stay there till you go out. And when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. Matthew 10:11-13. Here we have instruction we can use as a guest in another's home. We have the authority to bless their home with peace. One cannot give something one does not possess. This prayer works on that principle. It asks that our home be a place of peace, rest, and refuge for all who abide there. This prayer also claims a promise of God. The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quiet and confidence forever. And my people shall abide in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. In closing 2 Corinthians, Paul wrote, "Be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you." 2 Corinthians 13:11. The ideal home should be a respite from the world, where love, encouragement, and support is automatic. Respect is the norm, and humor and laughter bring joy. Home is a place where the Spirit of God and the love for the Word and principles of God dwells. We should all strive for this ideal. Peace comes from within and can flourish and radiate outward. The peace of God and confidence in His promises allows quietness and contentment even when other circumstances may be chaotic or uncertain. This prayer is for a place where quiet contentment can comfort and support a troubled or worried mind. 8. That each of our children and their posterity would serve Him without fail forever. This prayer looks forward to the fruition of His plan, a kingdom on earth when they shall all know me from the least of them unto the greatest. it claims the promises of Psalms 103, verses 17 and 18. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his covenant commandments to do them. As Mary said when visiting Elizabeth, "He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." This prayer looks forward to the kingdom. It asks God to work in our posterity so they might always stand before him in service, adoration, and love. 9. That both our life and death would honor our Heavenly Father in Christ Jesus, his Son. This prayer is not about martyrdom. It is a humble request that when it comes our time to die, the life lived, the decisions and choices made, and our experiences have developed a character that honors God and Jesus. Be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. 2 Peter 1:10. It is about attaining spiritual development that will be true to him no matter what. It's about making our calling and election sure. 10. That we would leave a noble, godly legacy. This prayer is independent of previous 9, yet connected to them. It is the fruition of and the answer to the previous 9 prayers. It is a very simple prayer. When God records our epithet, what will he say? Will it be like Noah? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Will it be like David? I have found David, a man after mine own heart. Will be like John the Baptist. There hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. As we live out the 9 previous prayers, this 10th one will be answered automatically. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. He who sows to the Spirit will reap everlasting life, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Galatians 6:7-9. Other prayers. These 10 prayers are the tip of the iceberg. Many specifics could be added. Joy, peace, thankfulness, contrition, daily care, forgiveness, sorrow, grief, pain, shame, regret, failure, wisdom, guidance, and even understanding. All of these are scripturally sanctioned subjects for prayer. Let us evaluate our walk. What are our successes and deficiencies? Then articulate and record our conclusions. The simple exercise of thinking through, wording, and recording them will prove to be a significant blessing. What shall I pray for? Sometimes our prayer life is strong and vibrant. Sometimes it's weak, ineffectual, or temporarily non-existent. During these times, when our prayers are unfulfilling, it may seem they merely bounce back from the ceiling. Sometimes we may not know what to pray for. When we feel unable to pray, perhaps ask these 3 questions. First, what do I have to be thankful for? Second, what areas of life do I want to improve spiritually? And third, who do I know that needs help? Our answers will provide avenues for prayer. The more we reflect on these questions, the more we will have to pray for. As we do, we will develop a deeper and more intimate communion with our Lord Jesus and our Heavenly Father. The purpose of prayer is communion and conversation with God. It is our lifeline to God, from which we draw hope, courage, peace, understanding, and blessing. Prayer often changes our attitude about the circumstances we are in. Prayer is effective when we acknowledge our helplessness or sin and admit to God our need for guidance and hope. May these suggested prayers become a springboard to greater intimacy and communion with our Father in heaven and our Lord Jesus. Preserve in prayer, for a smooth sea never made a skilled mariner. English proverb. Prayer is a conversation with God we have about things he can change. Worry is a conversation with ourselves about things we cannot.